I coach all the time. Now it's animal free. Like, it's just, it's right here.
Get you some marmalade. I'm going to do that now.
Grandma, grandma. Stop that, grandma.
Grandmama. Yeah.
Grandmama, it's me.
Anastasia.
No, it's Anastasia.
Well, in Russia it ain't, so. Why is my thing not working?
Anyway, I just finished binging all three seasons of Heartstopper.
Oh my god! The third season's out?
Yeah.
Oh my god, Crystal, it's so cute. It's like, oh my god, it's like the teen rom-com I always wish I had. It's so cute. I never knew I needed it until it happened, and I was like, this is adorable.
It's so cute. It's so well done. Kit Connor, I am so excited for his future.
I know. Oh my god. I'm so excited.
Both him and Joe Locke, but yeah, Kit Connor's, he's got it all. Yeah, and the music in that show is like all the music I listen to. Season one had like 3 or 4 Maggie Rogers songs, and I was like, yes, yeah, please. Season three had the song that when I'm in my feels, I put on repeat and I sob to over and over again.
Link it below.
And then it also had the songs from the Birdie album I've been listening to a lot recently. So
Shut up, Birdie. Oh my god, that takes me back.
It's like it was made for you, Anna.
Oh my god. For real.
Anna and Joy Venture.
We would love to have you with us, though.
I would. Also, because, like, these kids, like, I feel like, these kids, they're so cute. Like, the kids are all right.
They really are.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Very cute. It's very cute. I really like that it has such a great diversity of sexualities and, like, personalities. And they all get along, because obviously that's true. Like, all the gays flock together. But no, it's just genuinely so cute. And the music is very Anna. Now that I think about it, I mean, like, yeah.
Some of it's a little too girly pop for me.
I love, like, some girly pop.
I love girly pop. Hello.
But you would like it. Hello.
Although I do appreciate, even though any of these rom-coms are not usually my flavor of entertainment, I do appreciate when they feature people who don't normally get their own rom-coms, because that's important, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't got to tell you guys, but, like, it's important.
No, exactly. No,
the spectrum of people that are represented in this show is amazing. Mm.
That's beautiful. Mm.
And it's not just, like, the token.
Right, exactly.
Like, gay that's couple beautiful. Or the token queer person. It's very
normal.
It's very well done. Yeah, it's very normal.
It's very normal. I think that's one of the things that a lot of, like, media that, like, has queer people in it kind of misses out, is the fact that, like, queer people flock together, and normally, like, in a friend group, like, if there's a queer person there, it's generally, like, majority queer, with a couple straights in the mix. With the token straights, it actually is in reverse. But I love it. And it's so, like, to me, it feels so earnest and, like, genuine. I'm like, this is so cute. I can't get over it. It's like watching, like, little babies. They're so adorable. But, like, they have, like, their own lives and feelings and things, and they're so cute. So I really liked it. I forgot the third season was out because I'm watching Agatha All Along. Which is
More Joe Locke.
Love him. He's so cute.
I'm still very burned of the last Marvel show that I watched, that I know I need to watch Agatha, because I'm too far into Marvel to not watch. I can't just give it up. I'm too far.
Right. Yeah. Too committed, but too invested.
The last show really made me angry, and I was, like, legit pissed that I wasted my time on it, because Secret Invasion was awful.
I, like, didn't hear anybody talk about it except you. No one.
I was like, really? This is what I spent my time on? You killed her? Samuel Jackson's in this. He just cashing a check, which, fair.
Good for him.
It's just a waste of time. And I was like, Emilia Clarke, can you pick a good project to save your life? Like, what is happening here?
Oh, that was awful. Her. See, I do want more Emilia Clarke.
Oh my god, what is his name?
Ben Mendelsohn?
Also have an issue. Now I'm getting mad. I remember why I hated it. Not Ben Mendelsohn, but what is his name? Kinsley Benadire. Complete waste.
He was in that?
Yeah.
And he's so good.
Yeah. You know when you watch something and you can feel the actor trying to pull something out of a really poor script? That's what was happening. It was like hard to get through because I was like I can feel you struggling.
Yeah.
It was really bad. So all I hear about Agatha all along on the tweets or on the Instagram is all the gays are like, yay, a show. which is fine. I'm so apprehensive. So I'm going to wait till it is all the way out and then binge it and then see how far I get. Because this week-to-week business?
You know, it's...
A show that sucks that bad? Absolutely not.
It feels a little bit different only because it feels like it has, like... It feels like the beginning of, like, WandaVision where, like, every episode had, like, a point, like, a beginning, a middle, and end. Like, we actually made a storyboard of, like, what's happening and what makes sense. And there's, like, consequences for our actions. So we'll see. We'll see how it ends. We'll see how it goes. And then I'll let you know.
I'm sure the Twitter will let me know, too. Also, same with the movies. Like, I'm so over the movies. But then you have, like, a movie with Sebastian Stan and Florence Pugh. What am I supposed to say no to that?
That's true.
Hello?
That's
true. Like, and then Captain America. My Captain America is going to be in a movie later. Like, I can't have to show up. Like, I feel like MCU is taking advantage of my dedication, and I hate it.
Yeah, they're playing the long con. That's what it is.
And who's the boo-boo the fool? Me. Who keeps going? Me. Who gets them their money? Me. Anyways, all right. That's enough of that.
I bought my ticket for The Substance for tomorrow.
Shut the fuck up. I need you to fucking call me tomorrow night, please, because I keep seeing shit about it, and I really want to see it, but I feel like I will probably throw up in the theater. Because everything I read is that it's, like, uncomfortably body horror-y gore. But I love the theme, the topic, the what it's about. I want to see it so bad, but I need to know if I'll make it.
I have not seen a single trailer. I have vague inclinations of what it's about, but I have not seen a trailer. I also just watched, let me close out of that. I just watched Paris, Texas. I watched it this past week.
Wow. Iconic.
Very good. Very, very good. A classic for a reason. It was long. It felt a bit drawn out, but it was also like so well done that you kind of just like, okay, fine. I'll stay here for 20 unnecessary minutes. The cinematography is gorgeous. There's some great shots that are like they're just so good. And there's also a scene from that I've seen before, and I didn't realize it was from that movie. So yeah, classic. I recommend it. It's on Max.
Oh yeah, Max has a lot of like classic films on there now ever since they like merged with HBO, I guess. So there's all these old movies on there that I want to see. The other one, I've gotten a lot on my Twitter feed and stuff about The Red Shoes, because of the like cinematography and stuff. So I really want to see that at some point, maybe sooner rather than later. But Paris, Texas is definitely on my list too.
I think you'd really enjoy it.
I feel like I would. I don't know anything about it plot-wise, and that's fine for me.
Same. I didn't know anything going into it, except the trailer that Crystal and I had watched last weekend, weekend before.
I thought you said a pair of X's, and I was like, what is that? And then...
great movie.
A pair of X's. That's like every rom-com ever.
That's like every romance movie ever.
Rom-drom.
Yeah.
Well, hello, everyone. The year is 2009. President Obama is freshly sworn into office. The economy is in the toilet. Lady Gaga is rising in the charts for the first time. And the Oscars took place on February 23rd. The ceremony was hosted by Hugh Jackman, whose bare-bones opening number, poking fun at the recession, had a quick star-studded moment with Anne Hathaway, and some may say that led directly to her starring in Les Mis and taking home a statue herself. We here at We Have Thoughts have traveled back in time to bring you our opinions on the year in movies. That's right, friends. The Oscar Rewind series is back. I'm your host, Anna.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Joy.
And to start off the 2009 discussion, we're taking a look at the curious case of Benjamin Button. It tells the story of Benjamin Button, a man who starts aging backwards with consequences. He was nominated for 13 Oscars, including Best Picture. He was also nominated for lead actor Brad Pitt, supporting actress Taraji P. Henson, directing David Fincher, adapted screenplay Eric Roth, Robin Swiacord, and F. Scott Fitzgerald. Cinematography, Claudio Miranda. Film editing, Kirk Baxter, Angus Wall. Costume design, Jacqueline West. Original score, Alexander Desplat. Sound mixing, David Parker, Michael Semenik, Ren Kleiss, Mark Weingarten. Visual, and then it won for art direction, Donald Graham Birch for art director, and Victor J. Zolfo for set deck. Makeup, it won makeup by Greg Canham. And it won visual effects, Eric Barba, Steve Prigg, Burt Dalton, and Craig Barron, winning three of those 13. This is The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Right, friends, new year, new set of movies, a smaller set of movie.
Well, that's right. Movies.
Let's our get into
fiber,
it.
What did, first five movies, right?
Our first fiber.
Wow. We made it.
We're in the early 2000s. We made it out of the 2010s.
Shut up. Oh my God. Look at us, so committed.
Crazy. I know.
This is the longest relationship I've ever had.
I don't doubt that.
All right, folks, what did we think?
Have we seen this before?
Yes.
Yes, once, only once when it came out.
Same. I definitely didn't appreciate it first time around, but I was watching and going, wow, this is actually really good. Way better than I remember. Like, I think I was just looking at it at face value, like old man, small baby. Which, if you think about it, if he was a small old man, he should have died a big baby. But whatever. That's details. Small details. It was actually very good. Yeah, like I said, way better than I thought. What'd you think, Joy?
Yeah. I just remembered, like, bits and pieces of it here and there. Like, the present time setting. And then, obviously, old man going like reverse aging or whatever. And Kate Blanchett. I remember Kate Blanchett's dancing because it just, her body looks so beautiful. It was very good. It was better than I was expecting, but it was also so sad. Like, so sad. I was watching it the whole time and I kept turning to Tony and I was like, this is so depressing. Like, they keep missing each other. They keep having the wrong attitudes at the wrong time. And then he's like, all the things that he has to like come to terms with, like his marriage, his child, his de-aging. It's so crazy. But like, technically, I didn't even know it was David Fincher until the credits started rolling. And I was like, wait, it was who? doing what? And I was like, okay, that's why it's so good. Never mind. I figured it out.
Yeah, this is considered, like, in his filmography, like, out of the norm for him.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like his Forrest Gump, in a way. Mm. I thought it was, even before I realized it was him, I was like, this is very well directed. And I was like, oh, David Fincher, yeah, tracks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This movie did things to 16-year-old Anna.
What? Wait. Oh, you're right, Brad Pitt.
Of course it did.
First of all, I love me a sad fucking movie. Give me a movie that's so depressing, I'm its number one fan. I love to feel depressed.
Same.
I love this movie. And then Brad Pitt, who I was already obsessed with. And I hate how attracted I was to him in that white t-shirt when he was on the motorcycle.
I knew it. I knew it when we were, when I was like watching the movie.
I was like, okay, did the movie stop and it's now an ad? Like, what happened
to my... I was watching that scene. I was like, Anna must be drooling by this point. Like, jaw on the floor, pools of drool coming out. That's Anna.
Jumping ahead. During their first sex scene where she was like, whenever she asks and he says, absolutely, ruined 16-year-old me. Ruined me. I was like, absolutely. Absolutely?
Shut up.
Absolutely.
Shut up. I've told you, I don't know if I said this on the podcast, but I see that he is a handsome man, but I can't think he's hot because he's the same age as my dad.
Oh, you have said this before.
And that weirds me out so bad. So I can't think. I just can't.
I fell in love with him. Like, fell in love with him in Legends of the Fall.
Yeah, he looks great in that movie. Yeah.
When I was way too young to watch that movie and understand what was happening.
I don't even know that movie.
Great movie. Yeah. Anthony Hopkins, the girl who plays his daughter in this, Julia Ormond, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
She's fantastic. His name is escaping me. I love him. He was the love interest in the cop in Practical Magic.
Oh, the guy.
Yeah, Quentin Quinn.
Something like that. Fuck if I know. I don't know. Yeah, that guy.
Love him. I'm looking it up real quick because it's going to bug me.
You know, I've never had a I don't know how much I should say. I've never had a problem, like, being like, oh my God, like, this, you know, famous celebrity is too old for me, whatever. Because I was, like, a teenager, like, falling in love with, like, 50-year-old men. Which obviously was never going to happen. But I was like, I saw Alan Rickman in Sense and Sensibility, like, bitch, I'm like, unfazed by that. And who was it? Is it Alan Rickman? And there was somebody else that I can't remember that I was also like, oh my God, he's so beautiful. I mean, Antonio Banderas, but he was younger when I was, like, seeing him. But Alan Rickman is one I remember. I was like, this man is old, but I'm still into it.
I fell in love with Robert Redford when I was in middle school watching The Way We Were.
Oh, yeah.
But when I was watching that, he was old enough to be my grandfather.
That's very interesting, because that's not something I ever thought of. If there was, like, older guys that were attractive when I was that young, it was, like, Zach Morris, who was, like, 10 years or 20 years older than me. Like, not someone, like, my dad's age or whatever.
Well, I never put those two things together in my head. And actually, until you said that, like, years ago when we were talking about this, that never clicked for me necessarily. But I don't know. I guess I didn't. I don't know. It just Go ahead.
I live by the words of a substitute teacher that once told me, AJ, is mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter.
As long as you're not a minor, like,
right,
that has a big asterisk next to it.
People like to use that excuse, like, it's fine, love, no,
she was an old lady who didn't want to say her age, and that's the way she meant it.
Yeah, and, like, when I was, and, like, I'm obviously Alan Rickman was not attainable to 16-year-old me, obviously. So in my head, I'm like, we're never actually, nothing's ever going to actually come of this. But I can dream. You know, a girl can dream. The likelihood of me meeting and falling in love with Pedro Pascal or Oscar Isaac, who's definitely married, like, unlikely, but a girl can dream. So it's okay. And also, they're, like, not that much older now that I'm older.
No, they keep aging too, babe.
I mean, yes, but, like, you know, we're
the
both
gap
adults.
Isn't you as, know, like,
yeah. When you were a child, that's the difference.
Right.
Yeah. I'm also cognizant of the fact that Robert Redford isn't the most attractive man nowadays. If you look at him, he's a wrinkly old man. But to me, he's still in the way we were, breaking my heart over and over again. That is how I see him. And unfortunately, Brad Pitt, I know he's not the greatest guy. I now have different thoughts about him and opinions. Mm. But goddamn, when he looks good, y'all.
I mean, it's hard to argue. He's very nice face. It's very pleasing to the eye.
He's very aesthetically, like, you know, conventionally attractive. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so American.
He's so American.
He's like the quintessential American.
Proportions are correct. Like, it's like, well, what's
so American?
What's the boy that I'm like, oh, Austin Butler. Like, I don't think he's attractive, but he has a face that I understand why people think it's attractive.
Same. I don't find him attractive at all. Like, there's not ever one moment in his filmography that I'm like, pretty.
But
I'm just like, I get it. I get it.
It's because all the proportions are correct. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, whatever. I like symmetrical things, so it's pleasing to my eye. But I don't, like, care for it.
Or the same thing, like, who was it? Lena Headey. Lena Headey is, like, 20 years older than me. But I was not thinking that back then. She was just in a cute movie. That was it.
What cute movie was she in?
Imagine Me and You.
That's right. I remember seeing that cover of the movie in Blockbuster and being very intrigued by it.
Yeah, like, I also had that feeling at Blockbuster.
Because I was like, I understand what the story is.
Right. Yeah.
The cover, I never watched everything. It, but...
Question.
Wait, you never watched it?
I've never seen it either, but is that the one where, like, they're holding hands behind the guy or something?
Let me see. Uh-huh. Okay. Let me see it here. This one.
No, you got the background on.
It's fine. God damn it. I'll look it up. That's whoever took that photo, awards. Because it tells you what you need to know in one picture. That's genius.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
To preteen me, I understood it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Great. Okay, now let's take
it into
the movie a little
deeper. What other old people are you into?
Let's get back to this movie a little bit. I really liked all of the backward motif things. We had the backwards clock and the hummingbirds fly backwards. And I learned that hurricane winds are in the opposite direction. Like, that's how they get the swirl. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, like, the hurricane happening then is another backwards motif. And I really liked that. That's what tied it all together.
Nice. I liked all the buttons that made up the Paramount logo in the very beginning. I thought that was cute. I loved that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Buttons, I'm in. Also, I completely forgot you mentioned this earlier, but I forgot it was Cate Blanchett. I forgot it was Charles B. Henson. I forgot it was Mahershala Ali, Tilda Swinton, Jared Harris. Like, also, I forgot all these actors were in this movie. I know I've seen this before, but I forgot so much of it. None of it stayed, I guess.
So, Jared Harris, his, like, pirate-ish character, reminded me so much of a character from a D&D campaign I was just in. I was like, oh, it's a little bit of him. It was very fun. But yeah, this cast is so stacked.
Yes. Banger after banger.
But also, I had a problem with Elle Fanning. They dubbed over her voice with Cate Blanchett's, and I found it very creepy. I also found the voice that they gave to old young Benjamin very creepy, that, like, scratchy voice.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, it was kind of like nails on a chalkboard. It like scratched me the wrong way, and I was like, I can't. Mm.
I'm 7 years old, but I look a lot older, or whatever he said at the butcher.
Yeah, a lot older. Yeah.
Like, is he smoking? Did he smoke or something? Like, I'm confused.
Yeah, and then with like the makeup and the CGI, it was like still young Brad Pitt's eyes, but like.
Yeah, but like his, like, his aged face. The CGI was something. I don't know. I feel like it was very uncanny valley of like that. I wasn't 100% sold. And I like, obviously the makeup department did really well, but I don't know. It was still, maybe it's just cause like, you just know Brad Pitt's face. So yeah,
it reminds me of when we saw him in 12 Years a Slave. Like, he's too much of an actor to be transformative, even under all this makeup / CGI. Because when he was in 12 Years a Slave, we're like, oh, what's Brad Pitt doing here? Like, right. Why is he on this field? What's going on? He's just, and that's not the kind of actor he is, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting how they had to put so much CGI and makeup to make him, like, transform.
I think he's just not, like a character actor.
No.
He's not like that versatile. Like, he's a pretty boy, and like, sure, he has some, there's an extent to his acting abilities, but it's not like, you know, transformative like all these other character actors that can really like get into a role and you feel like it's not them at all. Even beyond his like celebrity face, I don't know, it just feels like it's not, maybe it's not removed enough from his like persona. Maybe if it was something like completely opposite to his,
because he's super famous,
right? Like, I mean, completely opposite to any sort of like personality that we know about him. Maybe that would be better.
It's a question, honestly. Do y'all think he's a good actor? Not in this movie, just in general.
I think he's fine. I don't think, he's great.
Right, he's like average. He's good.
I would say above average.
He's solid. He's solid and, like, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what else
I think along the lines of, he's too pretty and he's too, we know him too well for him to be, like, the weird little side character in anything. Like, it would be really weird for him to play the freaky little neighbor in something, you know?
Yeah.
But when I look back at his body of work, I think there's some great work there.
Right. Like in Fight Club, I feel like that was more transformative for him because he was like digging into something a little deeper there. But like, I'm trying to think of what else I've seen him in. Like, Babylon, throw it in the trash. His whole thing in Babylon was so like one note. It's like, I'm sexy Brad Pitt. Congratulations. And same thing, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, throw it in the trash. But I don't know. I feel like he was good in this. And I don't know. He was average in Moneyball. He was average in The Big Short. I feel like maybe The Tree of Life, but that might just be me thinking of the movie as a whole versus like him specifically in it. I don't know. I feel like he has like a very like him like way of acting. So average.
I think he's hollow. He's a hollow actor. This movie was not bad. I actually enjoyed it, but I never felt connected to him because I never really cared about him. I was more interested in just like, where's this gonna go? Like, how is his life going to end? How, like, more of like the journey rather than how he felt. Cause like, he never once has like a scene that's like, I know he has a lot of voiceover and that's kind of where the acting comes from. But like, more detail should have been made of when Queenie dies, someone who took him in, who in her mind in the beginning thought he was going to die, but she's going to love him until he does. I mean, there's a little scene where he goes to his bio mom and her funeral, or sorry, his bio dad, and he goes, well, you're my mom. And I think that's really sweet. But that's really all we really get of them. I needed mm-hmm. more of their relationship. I needed him to react more. I don't know, maybe act about his mom dying. And I guess it would be like within character to be just kind of like stoic and not like unemotional. since that was a character, but like at the same time, I didn't really feel his emotions either. But he was going through so much.
He was surrounded by death from the very beginning. Like, he watched people come and go and come and go and come and go.
Yeah, I know.
So I think for her to go, like, he knew it was coming. He knew it wasn't a far-off idea that she wouldn't be there when he returned.
Again, there was, you didn't feel that from his face. All that I know because I watched the movie. He needs to be, like, if you're not going to say a lot of dialogue, that's fine. But then you need to be acting with your emotions. And I don't feel like he was doing that.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of actors that have a really great ability to do, like we talk about all the time, face acting. People who can do face acting, and especially if you don't have a lot of dialogue, your body language, your face, like your expressions should do the talking for you. But now that I think of it, there's not like one particular scene that I'm like, oh, he's like, that's acting. Because I was actually surprised as I was going through the list. I was like, oh, he's nominated for an actor? Okay.
He's very passive, and I feel like he's just kind of there and everything happens to him, which actually makes him real, because most people aren't, like, super crazy active. Like, most people are passive, so that kind of checks out. But if I'm supposed to go this entire journey with this person, I'm supposed to at least care about them a little bit. It reminds me of when we watched Boyhood. We're going through the entire boy's life, and I'm supposed to care about him, but I literally don't, because he's giving me nothing to care about. At least Benjamin Button had, like, a different way to get to death, you know what I mean? Like, he just meets a lot of interesting characters, and there doesn't, I don't know, it just feels hollow. It's hollow to me.
Do you think
go ahead, Joy.
Do you think part of that had to do with how the character was written, or do you think it was more like an acting choice or a director choice?
It might have been how it was written, because like I said, you don't have to have a lot of dialogue to have a good performance. You know, especially if he wasn't, like, maybe had a large vocabulary or something. That would understand why he didn't speak a lot. But I feel like the only emotion he was giving was when he was giving the voiceovers. When she was reading, his daughter's reading his book. Or his journal, rather. I felt like in his voiceovers, he was giving me a little something. But, like, when he was actually on screen, I didn't feel it. It just felt like he was, like, it's... you know how, like, there's dancers that aren't that great. They'll do, like, a move, and then they'll pause. And then they'll move, and then they'll pause. And there's no, like, through line. It's not flow. It doesn't flow. That's what this felt like to me. Felt very, like, I'm Brad Pitt. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to lean on this doorway. I'm going to look at you. Like, it just felt very and not seamless. Does that make sense? Am I crazy?
Yeah.
No, you're not. I will give this to Brad Pitt, though. There are very few actors that I feel like can eat well on screen, and he is one of them.
That is true.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Him, Matthew McConaughey. Trying to think of another one.
Think of Sebastian Stan in that one movie that Crystal watched. Where did Matthew McConaughey eat and look normal?
I specifically think of Matthew McConaughey eating in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, where they're at the restaurant.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they're watching the basketball game, and he's eating, like,
that
rice.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay,
yeah. I'm like, I believe you.
Yeah. I believe you think that about you're how eating. Mess we are, Joy, when we're eating, God. Just talking to each other. But you can say your lines and do your thing. Another one note is Matthew McConaughey, but whatever.
But at least he can eat.
But being able to do all of the things that eat seamlessly, and that's a skill. So bravo to those men for that, because I can't do that. I can barely eat normally.
Same.
Brad Pitt, the only one that's jumping to mind, I feel like he eats a lot on screen, like that's kind of a thing of his, but the only one that's really jumping to mind is Meet Joe Black.
He looks great in that movie too. Wow.
Like the Pete movie also did things to me.
Of course it did.
I just, I can't also remember the death? Cover of that, the cover of that VHS. Yeah.
Yeah, he looks phenomenal in that movie, like. Wow. He almost looks not real. He looks so good.
Because he shouldn't be. Like, he's.
Do you know what I mean?
He's death. I love that movie. I love all 3 hours of it.
That sounds like such a thing that you would love. And actually, I would really love that story too.
Right?
So, I saw it when I was too young. I don't remember a lot of it
for sure.
But I do remember thinking, wow. Beautiful. Like, that's gorgeous. Like, are you serious right now?
I really loved the, I just felt like the whole movie, the whole telling of it was just so romantic and like sweeping and gorgeous. And it could have been because I was on my period, but God damn it, it made me cry like a baby. I was sobbing at the end of this movie, and I'd seen it before. It's been a while, but I had seen it before. But when she's holding him and he's a baby, lost my shit.
When did you cry, Joy?
You know what's weird? I was going to say, I didn't cry at all this whole movie. So I don't know who we're going to blame that on. Who did not do the storytelling correctly here? Was it the writers? It was not David Fincher, obviously. It was not Kate Blanchett. She's perfect. It was not Taraji P. Henson, because I got real sad when she died. Because I was like, what? That's it? She's just gone?
That's what I mean. It was too quick.
Did not give two shits about his father dying. Bye-bye, bitch. I was just, like, very depressed the whole way through. I was like, well, this starts sad. The whole middle is sad. And it's definitely going to end sad as fuck. So, like, wow. It was bleak. But also, like, I totally get that, like, the romance part of it. I was like, oh, my God, like, they can't be together because blah, blah, blah. And she's stupid and young and he's stupid and young. And then they're both stupid and middle age. And then they have these great time together. And then, oh, my God, she's going to have a baby. And what are you going to do? And, like, that whole their romance sold. I was sold. That, I don't know if it was, like, Kate Blanchett doing the heavy lifting or what it was. Or just, like, the story. I love a doomed romance. I love a tragic romance. That's probably it. I love when I know they're like fucking Titanic. I know they're going to die. I know this is not going to end well, but I'm going to suffer and also be happy in the middle of it. So I just know it's going to be good, even though it's going to be bad. What was the question?
No. So unsurprisingly, I wasn't like, oh, love. Like that did not even occur to me at all. I was not thinking about that at all. But I was interested in the idea of just like, life is, I like the idea of like how small you may think you are, like the people you meet teaches you things and you grow and you learn, and like the people who you meet from adolescence teach you these things that you take into the future as an adult. That whole like thing was real, even that whole sequence where his voiceover about like Kim Blanchett getting hit by the car, all that stuff was really good. I only cried at the very end when he's like, you know, you could be an artist or no Shakespeare. And he's talking about all the people he's met in his life. Because I feel like in my head, that's what you think about in the end. I mean, I don't know. It's never happened to me. But in the end, you think of like everyone you've seen, everyone you've met, and how they've touched you and how they made you who you are. And I think that's really beautiful. That part of it was like gorgeous to me.
Yeah, I think that's something that like, I think it's a nice reminder for life. Just be like, you think you're like so alone and like you have nobody and nothing. But then you think of like, oh, well, I make my rice this way because I learned it from someone who I spend time with. Or I always pick this certain thing when I go to the movies because like, oh, somebody that I shared love with, like we did this together or whatever.
And it like can that. Be like something small or something big, but it's impactful either way.
Yes, it's so human. It's so human. And I think that's what brought the movie full circle, where at the end I was like, oh man, this shit is good. This shit is nice.
Moving on before I cry a lot.
Sorry. I didn't mean to make you cry. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's good. Back to the car accident scene. I have been dreaming of that yellow coat since I was 16 years old. This reminded me of how much I loved it then. And I was like, God, it's so beautiful with the all black that she has on and just the way it moves when she spins.
And also with like
that yellow coat.
I think in particular, David Fincher like made that scene, made everything else in the scene so like monochromatic so that the yellow really stood out. So it was a really nice like visual contrast. It made it even more like, I'm sure in real life that coat is beautiful, but it made it even more beautiful with like the movement and the scenery around it being a little bit more muted and kind of sepia in a way.
I thought this was really a fun fact. he goes to see her in the play. He goes to see her in Carousel. Bad on him for showing up late. Naughty, naughty. Don't do that. Go get to the theater on time.
Yeah.
But also, I looked it up, and there was a production of Carousel that did play the Majestic Theater in both 1945 and 49, and I'm assuming this was the 1949 production that they were showing, because it was, like, post-World War II. More post than 45. Anyway, so, but I thought that was cool. Like, that was historically correct. It was the Majestic Theater, and it was Carousel.
That's so cute.
Kind of going up what you're saying about the yellow and the contrast, it was beautiful cinematography. Gorgeous. I love how the old folks' home looked, the warmth of it. Even there's so many scenes at night, and the blue from the moonlight inside the house was gorgeous. I love the brightness of the church that Trazi takes him when he starts to walk for the first time. All that, it's very simple because it's just a tent, but it's so bright and gorgeous and beautiful in there. I love the scene, the cinematography of her dancing in the gazebo. Every shot of that
beautiful.
Is gorgeous.
Beautiful. Beautiful
every single
shots.
Shot of that. Phenomenal. Also, even like the hotel, like the hospital bed, like it's supposed to feel like claustrophobic, and because it's Hurricane Katrina and it's all this hurricanes and rain and stuff, and you can feel it, like you can feel the dampness in the air. Mm-hmm. The way, like, I thought that was really great.
Yeah, it's really well directed. And it is so different from, like, what I think of when I think of David Fincher. But it's such a, like, it's such a human story. It's such a, like, touching story. Because I feel like, since you go on this journey of life, I feel like everybody can get kind of something out of it, regardless of, like, whatever point in your life you're at. This is really nice. Just nice. Sad. Fucking sad. But, like, nice in, like, a human way.
It was romantic David Fincher.
Yeah. Which is so crazy. Because now I want more. I want to see it again.
Another thing I wish that they would have delved into is his sister. He never talks to her.
I know. I thought about that, too.
Like, okay, yeah, everyone comes and goes, everyone dies. But, like, she's so young. Just because they all die soon doesn't mean you don't talk to them and, like, engage with them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Even at the mom's funeral, I think it was, right? Mom's funeral.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even, like, sit next to each other or say two words.
Yeah, it was so weird. I was like, I understand being estranged from your family, but, like, whose fault is that? You left, sir. You can come back and talk to your sister. I'm sure she knows the deal, because literally your mom knew the deal. Like,
right.
I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, their lack of relationship also bothered me.
It just felt strange. Like,
right.
Because there wasn't any... Because if they had a problematic relationship, we would have felt the tension. It would have been intentional to, like, have them be estranged. There was none of that. So I don't know if it was just, like, lack of connection.
I don't think it was problematic or they restrained so much as it.
Right. We just didn't see it.
I felt like Benjamin felt like he was a burden.
Where does that? I don't get that anywhere. I don't feel those emotions that I'm supposed to feel.
I got that because I don't know. I just felt like he thought like he wasn't. He never fit in. He never was like supposed to. He was supposed to have died. He was supposed to have done all these things, and he's not normal. So he just, to me, I got the sense that he kind of felt like a burden, was like, I'm not going to have that relationship because I don't want to be a burden to her.
I guess, but that's not her fault. Like,
no, and it's not really his fault.
And
either.
By this
it's
time, just... he sees her when she's like, I guess when he comes back, he's like got to be in his, I guess, mentally like 20s or something. Mm-hmm. So he's not like a child. He understands like what a sibling is. I don't know. Again, I don't know if it was like the issue of the script or like the performance. That one I wasn't sure about. And then it's based on a short story. So I don't even know if she was even in the short story.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say, like, she was probably just a footnote in the, oh, and Queenie and Tizzy also had a kid. Like, it was probably just like a
right.
a line.
And I guess I get why they did that, because he felt like, okay, well, now it's my time to move on because she has someone else to take care of. That's not just me. Mm-hmm. I felt that only just because I'm the oldest, so I understand that. But I don't, none of the movie told me that. I just knew that already. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So hummingbirds. I love that they used hummingbirds in this film. I kept meaning to look up a deeper meaning of hummingbirds.
They hum and they're birds.
Oh my God, that's it. You're so smart.
I'm like so educated.
But they have a very special place in my family. We lost two pretty big, important people a couple years ago within like a couple months of each other. A patriarch in our family and then a baby. And we've always associated them with hummingbirds. So every time a hummingbird comes, I think there was a story of there was a hummingbird outside the window when he passed, or there was a hummingbird. And then the hummingbird kept visiting after she had the baby. And so every time we see a hummingbird, it's like, oh, they're coming to say hi. They're coming to visit. So it was nice to see hummingbirds here.
That's so cute. It's so sweet.
Yeah.
You know, I love the like motif and the themes of like birds, because they could so easily come and go, being like a reminder of someone who's passed. Because I think I read that, like, I was out at lunch with my cousin and we saw like a red, I don't know what kind of bird, but
like it was a cardinal? Really,
yeah, like a red cardinal. It was beautiful. And then I looked it up afterwards and it was like, oh, this is someone that has passed coming to say hi. I was like, that's so sweet. I love that idea.
Cardinals are a big, if you see one, it means something. Hummingbirds, owls. Is it owls or owl feathers? I'm not sure.
I think it's owls. I'll have to look it up. But yeah, I love that, because like,
I love, you know, birds.
I love birds, especially because, like, you know, they can go wherever. They can migrate. They, like, they're so well traveled. Like, they can just do what they want. You can just, like, pick up and go at any moment, which I would love to. God, that'd be so nice.
You're such a Sagittarius.
I knew that she was going to bring up your sign. I knew it. I just...
Look, I want to be able to, like, come and go and then, like, come back if I want to. You know, I don't.
Who says you can't? Who says you can't?
Nobody. Nobody says I can't. But, you know, like, sometimes Elise says, not right now.
Who's Elise? Elise, who are Elise?
Elise, that's my neighbor over here. I ask her sometimes to borrow some marmalade. Oh, man. To be a bird, that'd be cool. Maybe I was a bird. Maybe it was like some like
you're
fluffy,
a bird, I'm a bird.
Owl. bitch. You know, Tony has never seen that movie, and I'm gonna make him watch it soon because I haven't seen it in a long time. And
I haven't either.
Ever seen it?
No, I haven't seen it in a long time.
Oh, okay. I was like,
did you not hear me at the top of this episode?
No,
the
I know.
Pressing film. I'm in.
Yeah.
Sign me
depressing
up.
Pressing romance. Heartbreaking romance.
I mean,
absolutely.
Tony's kind of young, so that came out like when I was a kid, so I guess it would make sense that he hadn't seen it before.
Well, this has been reiterated to me a lot by both of the twins, is that like I made them sit down and watch stuff with me.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
I always thought it was like a suggestion, but no, I apparently forced them to sit and watch stuff with me. But they have really good taste now. Tony loves musicals and he loves a rom drama, and so does Benjamin, even though he doesn't watch them that often because he also gets just as sad as we do.
You know what?
Because I made him.
My sister said the same thing, but about music. I was like, Ariana, how do you know this song? She's like, oh, because you used to sing it all the time. I was like, oh.
That's so cute. See, that's how Johnny is with me about music. Because I'm like, wait a second. How the fuck do you know something from the year that you were born?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you played it all the time.
Because you played it, or heard you sing it, or it was in your car when I was with you or something. I'm like, oh.
Oh my God, I'm so cool.
I'm being influential.
Yeah! I've influenced three people. Amazing. That's enough. Three people's enough. Don't need a bigger crowd.
That's all you need.
Yeah. No, yeah, but oh my god, I made Benjamin watch La La Land. What was it? A little while ago now, and he was like, "No, whatever." And then, bitch, we were broken at the end of that movie. I was like, "God, we do watch a lot of sad romantic shit."
Did you then promote him to listen to our podcast about it?
Yes, I did. And actually, you know what he said? He was like, I actually listened to a lot of your episodes. You were like, I was like, oh my god, you do?
Oh my god, a fan?
Oh my god, a fan? We have another listener. That's three.
We love supportive families.
Yay. He was like, yeah, if I watch a movie, I'll go see if you have an episode about it. I was like, oh, bitch, that's so cute. Love that. That's
so nice.
That's so sweet. Wow. So, you know, that's sweet.
I really have to start watching what I say on here.
It's fine. It reminds me of one. I think I'll tell you this when we podcasted about it, but I took Eric when he was like 13 or 14 to see The Artist with me. And I wasn't sure if he was going to like it. And he was like, that was really cool. Like, he just was so interested in like silent film after that and just like movies in general. And I was like, yes. Also reminds me when I took my family to see Les Mis. I think I also mentioned this in that episode too. And I was so nervous they were going to hate it. Because it was for my birthday. I was like, oh my God. Literally everyone was crying. I'll never forget my dad going, but they killed the kid. Like, he just couldn't get over that. He was so upset.
The whole little baby Gavroche. Like,
oh my God. They killed
him. Like, he just couldn't. He was so upset. I'll never forget that. It was so funny. Yeah. But everyone loved it. So influential.
Influencers. Look at us. We have three fans. Wow. I think this is the most fans we've ever had. All of
which you know, Joy.
Excuse me, you know them too.
That's true, I guess. Yeah. I mean, well, all of our connections to anything, this podcast are off or because of you. True. Any party we had, the guests were your friends.
Yeah, but who brought the party? You two.
I paid for it, part of it, yeah. Baked part of it, yeah.
Where would we be without super cute decors or like outfits,
help decorate or like make a cake, beams? No one's gonna show up to the party.
People will show up.
Me and the ghost, I guess.
This woman on TikTok, she hosts monthly themed dinner parties for her and her friends, and they're so beautiful. And she thinks of a theme and like does this whole big menu and like tablescapes. I'm like, I want that. I don't know anybody.
Exactly. It'll just be us.
It'd be you and my sister at the table.
That'd be cute. She's cool.
She's all right.
I remember when we went to her house for game night that one time.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
We played that like spy game. Was it the spy game?
That was pre kids. So,
pre babies.
Oh, yeah. Pre kids. So lots of dogs, none kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun. Now she's
no dogs. Two kids.
Oh, she has no dogs now?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Poor Penny died when Inez was... It was almost 3 years ago now. Inez wasn't even a year. And then they shoved Rigby off to her sister-in-law because Rigby was the worst.
Oh. I do remember he was a little crazy.
Rigby was crazy. She barked all the damn time. And then she didn't like it when, like, you got active and played with the kids. So, like, if you were running around or, like, stomping and jumping with the kids, she would start, like, snapping. So they were like, she's got to go.
Yeah, that's not great.
No. And she was annoying.
Damn. I really liked the score of the movie. I thought it was
the score was beautiful.
And it kind of reminded me a little bit of The Shape of Water. Similar motifs as that score. Beautiful, absolutely gorgeous.
I keep meaning to send this TikTok to you, Crystal. It's these two girls who play a game. I don't know if they have a podcast or if they just do it on TikTok for fun, but one of them will play 10 seconds of a score for the other one, a movie score, and they have to try and guess it.
That is so cool.
I've gotten a few right.
Stop it. It reminds me when we did that music memory stuff in Mrs. Kirk's class, elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Me. I would win. Although it wasn't cool to know like musical pieces at the time, but whatever.
You guys did music memory when you were in school?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, we did that too. You know, Donnie, the twins went to go compete for like UIL music memory stuff when they were in elementary school.
Oh, I'm not UIL, that's cool.
Yeah, it was like a thing, like the like not sports UIL, but like a educational UIL or whatever.
Yeah.
And they did that. I remember they competed for a while. But it was cool because they would give them the CD, the like burn CD of like all the options that they could be.
When I was in school, it was a tape.
Yeah, when they were in school, it was a little bit later. So they give them the burn CD of like all the songs, all the pieces it could possibly be, and you had to get it. Whoever got it first. I remember that. Oh my god, that was cool.
I remember distinctly she had a lesson.
I'm really good at it because.
You were talking.
I was never great at it because I'm not good at memorizing names, but I know what it is. I recognize it. I'm just the names, just like movement 3-7 whatever. I don't know something.
Yeah, that's hard when it gets to like you know a really really long name. But I remember because she did the same type of game where you had to like. She had, like, I remember she had, like, chairs in the middle of the room, and you had to, like, run to the chair, and, like, then you would, like, kind of like a buzzer or something. And she did it, I remember, on Vivaldi's Four Seasons, and so you had to, like, identify which season it was. And that was really fun.
That's cool! You had to identify the season?
But it wasn't cool to win, because, you know, classical music, that's day bad.
Ew, what a nerd. You know what? So I just saw the stupidest fucking movie in the early 2000s. And it was just like a cliche high school, like tropes and whatever. And I found myself so identifying with like the nerd who loved photography. And I was like, oh my God, bitch. Like, I'm so embarrassing. It's like, I love photography and I love going to museums. I was like, oh, bitch, that's me.
So for this year's Mean Girls Day, we got Charlie to watch it. And she was like genuinely laughing. She liked it. And then they started watching the musical afterwards, and Charlie was like, I don't like this turn off, the original one's better. I was like, yes. Right, yes. But she's a fan of Mean Girls now. I felt very proud.
Yeah,
I still haven't seen the musical because when they were watching it, I like went to go cook, so I didn't have time to sit down, but I still haven't seen it.
You should watch it. Renee Rapp is really good.
I still got offended by the trailer. They're like, this is not your mom's Mean Girls. Excuse me, that's rude.
Disrespectful. I'm not a mom.
I felt so old when I saw that trailer. I was like, excuse me? And then I was thinking, I literally went,
what? Okay. Anyways.
Wild. Wild.
But I did see clips of it, but I feel like Renee Rapp, I'm sure she's great. But to me, she looks almost too mean. Like, Regina George, like, Rachel McAdams looks like she's mean, like, this, but, like, in a, like, a sweet way, like, she's nice to your face, but then she's talking bad about you, like, she can say something really cunning to you, but, like, in a nice voice, whereas, like, Renee Rapp will actually, like, beat you up. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's almost too scary. Does that make sense?
She loves that.
That's
amazing.
And I love that for her. But I just think like Regina George needs to be someone who is like feared, but not in like physical fear. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Until the end when she starts playing.
Yeah. But you don't realize that until later. Like, at least I'd never got like, I'm going to clock you in the nose from Regina George in the beginning of the movie. Not until later on. But anyways, anyway, Renee Rapp is very scary, but in a good way. I don't know if it's, like, again, I haven't seen the full movie, but just the clips I've seen, I was like, ooh. Okay. Yes, whatever you say.
I do think the pairing of her and Busy Phillips as her mom is really great.
I love Busy Phillips so much. I love her.
All right. Any last notes before we wrap this up?
Let's see.
I did all my notes. I did them all. love Jared Harris. He's great.
I love the way that the shots were framed. One in particular was when Benjamin is coming out of the brothel, which I don't want to get into that, but he's coming out of the brothel, and while his dad is walking down the stairs, the camera zooms in on him as he realizes that his son is coming to, like, out of the brothel. Like, that whole framing and choreography of the movement was gorgeous. Lovely shot. What else? Claudio Miranda also did, he also won an Oscar for Life of Pi. Excuse me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Dude knows what he's doing.
I wrote, let me go to the ballet again. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yes.
That must have been a year. So bad.
I know.
You guys went to the ballet?
Last year, we went and saw Dracula.
It was amazing.
Which I'm currently reading, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I have not read that since I was in elementary school. Wait, not elementary school. Sixth grade.
Still young.
I know. But I was reading. I was like reading everything at that age. Everything.
Yeah.
And
I was like a lot of adult books. Young, but I shouldn't have been.
Ooh. Yeah, same.
That tracks.
Like, Dracula.
That tracks for you.
Yeah. I remember going to my mom's work with a book I was reading, and someone was like, "Oh, what are you reading?" And she read the back of it. She goes, "Does your mom know you're reading this?" And I was like, "Yeah." What do you mean?
Maybe she shouldn't not let you.
Oh, what do you mean? God. It's about a man accused of rape. What?
Oh my God. Jesus.
He was innocent, by the way.
He wasn't.
There it is.
It was like
anyway,
it's
not gonna go into that right
It
now.
Was a parable on witches Salem? No.
Huh?
The witches,
the Salem burning, witch trials?
Not the Salem witch trials, but they claimed everyone was a witch. The
Salem
the
witch book. Trials.
Yes, I know it's the Salem witch trials, but what is the book you read in middle school?
Oh, The Scarlet Letter.
No, that's not the Salem witch trials.
Oh, The Crucible.
The Crucible, thank you. It's like a parable of the Crucible, but in modern day. Anyway, this got way off track.
That was
amazing.
The funniest
thing. Never, I actually never had to read The Crucible.
So funny.
I never read it. But Dracula, the film, one of the versions of the film, I think the one with Winona Ryder, was also something that I watched way too young. But the costumes in that, stunning, amazing, super intricate, beautiful.
So, side note before I go into rest my notes. So, Charlie is going to be a vampire for Halloween. But she's going to be like a 18th century vampire. And,
A cool one.
Her inspiration was, because she was searching vampires because she wanted to be one. Because her and her best friend are going to be vampires. And she wanted to be like a cool vampire. So, she saw a picture of a young boy in like his high collar and his like puffy shirt. She's like, oh, I want to do that. So, her inspo was a little boy's costume that she saw. Because Ayanna goes, yeah, she's going to go, like, interview with a vampire. I was like, has she seen that? I asked her, like, no, she hasn't. She's
just, like aesthetic.
Wait a minute. Yeah. So when she said, Victorian vampire, I was like, oh, okay.
That's one I will say, do not let her watch that too young. Like, no. Like, no. No.
I don't even want to watch
that. Especially the TV show now? No. No, but no, it is so good.
My reaction when she said that, when I was like, she's watched that? Like, I was about to get upset. She goes, no, she's just, that's the idea. I think she referenced that to explain it to me. I was like, oh, I know what a Victorian vampire is.
I do want to see the movie with Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise.
But
I do
appreciate that she used the media to explain it to me. So
I want to rewatch it now that I've seen the show. But also, Charlie has great taste because, like, I love that aesthetic. I would live in that aesthetic if I could.
But she was thinking like steampunk, which how she know what that is. But she was thinking steampunk
anime.
And her and Izzy decided to be vampires.
Like, steampunk is also really cool. I always wanted to do like a steampunk look, but I never had an occasion for it.
Throw a party. You have a lot of friends. You could do it.
Over there, I throw a party. Here is going to be me and my three friends. Two friends. I got two.
You have more than two friends. Don't even start.
Two.
She's
here.
In New York. She's a Crystal Anna, in Texas, she's a joy.
Oh God, if we're in New York, then we would just be like in the corner, like.
No, because no one... then I'd have you two, and then I'd have four friends.
Yeah, but we would just have you.
Yeah.
Each other.
And, you know, we have you. We have just you here and there. So there you go.
We're just husks of human
losers!
Beings pretending to live.
Oh my God! Shut up! Shut up!
Okay, so back to my notes. Sorry. So instead of the YMCA, it was YWCA. Love that. She got married. She got pregnant at 43. Interesting.
Good for her.
She says to him, "It's okay. We all end up in diapers." And I was like, "Damn, she's right.
She's not wrong."
Although I do understand his like thinking, like, "I don't want you to take care of both of us," but at the same time, like. He like left in the night to say anything to her, but then it would have been like, if he said something to her, like that was a hard decision to make. I don't know what the right choice would have been.
Yeah,
that's rough.
I think ultimately it was the right decision because yeah. I also in the moment was questioning it. So I was like, you know, you at least have a few years.
Yeah,
could have been with her until she was like eight or
a
not,
toddler like, or like yeah. a young child.
But then I was like, but then she's going to have these memories of you leaving her.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is worse.
I mean, I guess they could have been like, oh, he died or something far away.
Right. So he was just never there. She could mourn him.
Up and down.
Right.
Like, dang.
But you know what I think? I think a good compromise would have been like, instead of leaving in the middle of the night and not saying bye, like, okay, let's spend one last beautiful month together or whatever. Give yourself a timeline and be like, let's do all the beautiful things that we can do together as a family. And then I will set the date and we will leave, and I will leave.
And like, I know this is different than like a normal Debbie dad, but like, I hate that he like left and he comes back. Like, no, you left her. So you need to stay away.
Yeah. Cause her reaction, she was like, why did you even bother coming back? Yeah. She had already done like her mourning process, her grieving process, like that she had to do alone because her daughter didn't know. And like her widowed husband, like, what did she tell him? Probably same thing. Oh yeah. He died. He's no longer here. Like,
I don't know. Like
that was shitty.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Anna. Go ahead.
I think the idea was that she was always going to fight it. And that if he didn't leave now, he wouldn't be able to convince himself to leave. You know, if I fall more in love with you, I'm not going to, it's going to be harder for me to walk away.
Like you said, somebody said, like, there's really no easy way to do it. Like, it's just,
no,
I don't know. That's rough. But I do back to like, you know, one note emotions. Julie Ormond was doing a phenomenal job just reading from a piece of paper. Her face when she realizes, like, when she asked her mom, like, when did you meet dad? And she's like, shortly after this. She's clocking in her head. She's figuring it out. And in her head, like, beautifully acted. I think she should have gotten on my shin, honestly, for being real. Like, her clocking it, like, okay, I'm going to keep reading. And I think she knows in that moment, she knows, but she's just going to keep going. And then when it happened, she's like, oh, shit, it's him. This is my dad. And then when she's telling him, like, oh, he came to the studio that one night, she was like, oh, my God, I remember that. Like, all of that she's doing in such a small, like, area. Not much, just more of like reaction, because obviously Kate Blanchett can't give her much because she's like, you know, dying. And she's just going off what she's reading. Phenomenal job. I thought she was fantastic. Whenever he's telling her, like, that when Julie Ormond is reading Brad Pitt's words about, like, I hope you're not afraid to, you know, live your life and do these things, I thought of the song I Hope You Dance.
Oh, yeah.
And that song was sang in my quinceañera. I don't know if I ever told you guys that.
No. Excuse me.
Yeah. Not by me. I didn't sing it. But it was sang for me. And so I always think of that song. And I was like, oh, that's cute.
That's so cute. It feels like such a like Texas song to sing at like quinceañera or Sweet 16. That's adorable.
Okay. So Kate Blanchett moves into the old folks home to take care of him as a baby. And her daughter's, like, her daughter didn't know that she moved in. Like, wouldn't she know that her mom wasn't around for a couple of months? Like, I guess the timeline's weird. Maybe she was off in college or whatever, but.
I think it said that she was away.
Was it? Okay, like, I missed that.
Well, like, clearly, like, her daughter's, like, an adult and having her own life or whatever. And she's still in New Orleans. So if she happens to, like, want to meet up with her mom, like, she's still there where she can you know.
No, in my head, I she's reading the story and she was like, how did she not know that her mom's already there? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm like patching in places that don't need to be patched, but whatever. Also, let's hear it out for the hair and makeup team. Like,
yeah.
Wow. Is Brad Pitt a good actor? Score Ship of Water. Okay, I've made that point already. Oh, okay. So Tilda Swinton is described as plain as paper. She is anything but that.
Yeah.
To me. Like,
yeah, she's a character.
She's the most interesting like face I've ever seen, and you're gonna call her plain as paper? In that case, terrible casting. But, all right, whatever. So Anna, do you have any like, I know like fun tidbits behind the scenes, like trivia is your thing. Do you have any trivia? Because I have some.
I looked up again because I knew there was something else. So hurricanes in the northern hemisphere go counterclockwise, and in the southern hemisphere go clockwise, and I think that's fucking rad.
Whoa,
that's insane. That's actually insane. Mother Nature. Why? What a crazy person.
The polarity. Is it
the magnetic pool?
Yeah.
Dang. That's fucking nuts.
That's nuts. That is cool. That's a cool fact.
Yeah.
So my cool fact are not as cool, but it's more specifically to the movie. So at first this was developed as a comedy starring Martin Short.
What?
No thanks.
And then that didn't go through, obviously. But at different parts of the development, it was going to be Steven Spielberg with Tom Cruise as the lead.
I think I remember hearing that.
And then
I would love to see that, and that would be amazing.
And then Ron Howard with John Travolta as the lead.
No.
No, thank you, Ron Howard. But I do love Tom Cruise.
I think the idea...
Tom Cruise.
I know, but Tom Cruise and Steven Spielberg have done really great work together. Not as a comedy, but as like
a drama. Clarify. So it was only a comedy with Martin Short, and then slowly developed into more drama. And then that's when Steven Spielberg wanted, he was attached to it with Tom Cruise, and then that fell through, and then later on with Ron Howard and John Travolta. But I think the idea was, this is before the CGI element, so they were kind of thinking, let's get a smaller actor so we can like put a bunch of makeup on him and make it like realistic in that way. Because there's an Orville Rettenbacher commercial that was done as a proof of concept by the animation company that did this movie, in which David Fincher directed the commercial. And basically they made this commercial to prove to the studio, like, this can be done. This technology can be done. Will you greenlight this movie? And so I believe that commercial was like, I don't know if I saw it in like Super Bowl or like Oscars. I don't remember, but I remember seeing it, and it's a CGI Orville Rettenbacher, and he's like, hey, my popcorn's the best or whatever. And that was to show the studio, see, look, we can use technology to make this movie. And they got the movie greenlit from that commercial.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool. I have to find that. I'm going to have to find that commercial.
I'll link it on the description.
But I do think that a Tom Cruise, Steven Spielberg version of this would be interesting too.
I know at one point Tom Cruise was an actor, but I haven't seen as much of that. So I don't know. Because to me, he's just like Ethan Hunt.
Action
like,
guy now.
Rich, you know what I
yeah.
mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's gotten way into that. Like he's very, very into that, obviously. But I was, I was reading some article about him the other day, and they were making a case for like, okay, him and Steven Spielberg specifically need to get back together because he needs to get back in his acting thing, not just his like action thing, because back in the day he was a very formidable actor. And like, I love, there's this movie Minority Report that they did together, which is fucking phenomenal.
Wait, that's Steven Spielberg? I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure it is, because I looked this up that same time. I'm pretty sure
I'll
it
look
is.
It up.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure, unless I'm very wrong, which is also probably fine.
Yeah, it's Spielberg.
Yes, wow, thank cool. you. And War of the Worlds, I believe, was also.
I liked War of the Worlds. I thought that was a good
yes.
movie.
I believe that one's also Steven Spielberg and Tom Cruise, but the guy in the article was like, we should get them back together.
Because I think the girl in that movie is Dakota Fanning.
It is, yes. Yeah. And he, we, let's try to refocus him back on like acting and see what he can do. Like if he can still, if he still has that, that muscle there. And I would love to see him in another acting thing again. Like, yeah, I love him as an action hero. Don't get me wrong. I will watch Mission Impossible all day long, but I would love to see him like in an acting role. I feel like that would be, it'd be cool see him in that at this age, at this point where he's at now.
We talked about it when we podcast about it. The small acting elements he did with Val Kilmer in Top Gun Maverick, I thought were really good. They were very like action-y type of dramatic scenes. But they were still, there was a little bit of meat to them, so that was nice. But
yeah, I want more. I like, I can see glimpses of it. I want more. I know, I feel like he's someone who's like so deeply dives into a character that he can do it because he's crazy.
So Joy is the Tom Cruise stan, confirmed. Got it.
Oh my god, not like that, but just like it talent wise, not. He's a psycho wise, because I know two things can coexist. He's a
psycho wise.
Two things can coexist.
His psychability, but I do stand his action stuff.
I know he's crazy, but he's also a great actor. But like, I know he's crazy. Like, I'm not gonna be like, woo, listen, Tom Cruise.
I understand. Like, Scientology is a cult. Fight me, I don't care. Which they probably could. but at the same time, do I enjoy his movies? Yeah, I do.
Yeah, unfortunately, I do. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I see both your points, Anna and Joy.
yeah. No, like, Brad Pitt is a piece of shit, but do I agree he has an aesthetically pleasing face? Yes.
I won't deny that.
Two things can be true.
Is a good actor. I, like you, have not seen a lot of his backlog. There's a lot of his movies that I do want to see. But him as a person, just.
Oh, yeah. Throw him in the trash. Trash.
And my mom hates him too. Everybody in Hollywood is like, oh, he's just the nicest guy. And I'm like, sure, he's nice to you and to your face.
Because
but he's
he
also
needs
like,
to be. Right. Yeah, he needs to keep up his persona, obviously.
I read this thing about the reason he's nice is because obviously I don't know this for sure, but the idea behind how he is and how he is, you know, puts himself out there in Hollywood is that he's very like, infantized, like they want to keep him pure and small and like he's just a precious, like, and people are like, he's a grown man.
Yeah,
but that's why he's nice, because he also is the face of this cult, so if he's nice, he makes them look good. Do you know what I mean? So maybe he really is nice, but
I feel like
sometimes he can feel a little calculated.
Oh, yeah, for
I feel like
sure.
He's always playing
it's
a character.
A PR
like
thing.
He's the character of Tom Cruise.
Right. Like Tom Cruise was coming to save the movies after the pandemic. Like,
and we're like, we don't know him, so we don't know what we're talking about. But I have read several
we can make educated
blind
guesses.
Items about him. And it's just like he's like that because they keep him like that.
Yeah, we can make educated guesses. We're not idiots. We've seen enough PR nightmares to
And honestly, I've seen enough cults too to know. They're gonna keep the face of the cult. They're gonna keep that precious as long as possible, so I don't know exactly what they do to keep him in this bowl and keep him safe. Oh my god, I'm gonna get shot. Fuck all this.
Oh, I know. After I said that, I was like, damn, I'm never gonna make it anywhere.
You know what though? I don't care. I don't want to support them anyway because that's a cult. They are a cult. Okay. Sorry.
And I trust
podcast will never
two
be picked
cult
up.
Experts.
Listen, I'm so sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm so. Okay, hold on. Let me stop. I'm gonna
Anyways,
meet
myself. We'll just write a little. You can just write a blurb of what you're trying to say once you get the thoughts together.
I don't
together.
Know what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that's what I'm trying to say.
All right. Period. Facts.
So categories. It was nominated for a bunch. What do we think about it being nominated for Best Picture?
That's fair. I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Overall, it's well rounded enough.
It made me cry. So.
Yeah, and it was a good time. It's beautifully, I think, other than some performances, everything else was top notch for me.
Okay, so it's nominated for Best Actor, Brad Pitt, up against Richard Jenkins for The Visitor, Frank Langella for Frost Nixon, Sean Penn for Milk, and Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler.
I think he could have done a little bit more. I don't think that every performance has to be like over the top and I'm acting and whatever. But I think it was just like too subtle to the point of being like laid back. I think there was a couple of moments where I felt like, oh, he's like, I'm feeling the emotion. I'm feeling the story. And it was because of what he was doing versus like what the rest of like the director and the cinematography and the whatever is doing. But yeah, and no, feel like we could fill this with other stuff, other people.
Yeah, I said my piece already, but yeah, for sure, I think he's too hollow and he gets away with a lot because he's a pretty man. Yeah, I'd say no.
I'm fine with him.
But I can see why watch and be like, oh yeah, nomination. Just it feels easy, you know.
Yeah, I'm fine with him being here, but I also wouldn't have been, like, super offended if he wasn't.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. Best director, we have David Fincher up against Danny Boyle for Slumdog Millionaire, Ron Howard for Frost Nixon, Stephen Daldry for The Reader, and Gus Van Sant for Milk.
I'm going to say yes, because I was surprised about this.
Yeah.
Like, this is not his typical fare, and he brought like his sort of like essence to it, but still did it in like a in that I was like, oh, I'm like surprised, like not surprised that it's good, but just surprised that it's coming from him. It was very well directed.
Like how we felt about how Steven Spielberg directing West Side Story, like he doesn't really do musicals, but he brought all his Steven Spielbergness to that movie, and it made it so good. I feel like this is the same type of comparison.
Yeah.
And I think Fincher is just, he knows what he's doing and he can, handle a film really well. And he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can direct the fuck out of anything. Yeah, he's a clear point of view. Yeah.
Best supporting actress, Taraji P. Henson is up against Amy Adams from Doubt, Penelope Cruz, Vicky Cristina Barcelona, Viola Davis, Doubt, and Marissa Tomei, The Wrestler.
I think she did a good job. I'm happy that she got a nomination for this. I also really enjoyed Julia Ormond, who plays his daughter. Mm-hmm. I think, like I said before, she's doing a lot of reacting, and you see a lot of it on her face register as it's occurring to her in real time. And I feel like that's how you do a subtle performance. That's how you do something where it doesn't have a lot of dialogue, a lot of big scenes, a lot of craziness, because like you see the pain in her face when she realizes how her mom was a dancer but she never knew it, or how this whole life that her mom had that she didn't even know. Like, it's, I think she does a beautiful job.
Yeah. I'm fine with her being here. It's been years, but from what I remember, the performances in Doubt were really great.
Yeah.
I haven't seen
it. I can't remember if I've seen Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
That's a movie, right?
Yeah, it is. I never saw the full thing, but I remember catching glimpses of it on like TNT or TMZ or whatever the cable TBS. Networks are. TBS! That's the other one. I remember catching glimpses of it on there and being like, oh, okay. I don't really care to see any of that man's movies, but the dynamic in the movie was interesting to me because I was like, this sort of doesn't make sense, but it sort of does. I don't know. Those characters were really interesting together in that I could not tell which way it was going to go. From what I remember watching it as like a teenager. But yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Best Adapted Screenplay, it's up against Doubt, Frost Nixon, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire.
Wait, one second. Did Cate Blanchett not get a nomination for this movie?
No.
No.
Okay, see, that's dumb. That should have been an easy one.
I agree.
Right. Yeah. I agree as well. Which do you think she would be? She'd be in supporting, right? I feel like she'd be in supporting.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, but I feel like you could also. I feel like we could argue for lead, but yeah, if she would.
Yeah, because that is her in the old as an old lady.
True.
Right. Yeah. She's in the majority of the movie, which again, we can go back and forth for 100 years about like the time length of whatever.
Right.
But I think that they treat her as a lead in the film.
She's definitely the female lead, although you could argue that Taraji P. Henson is the female lead because she's her the entire time, whereas the character of Daisy is played by Elle Fanning in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So then you would say that, like, Kate Blanchett is supporting. But, you can make a case for it because they make cases, weirder cases for...
Yeah, you can make a case for either or. I do love that Taraji P. Henson got nominated. I just wish, I think you said it before, Crystal, that, like, she had a little bit, they gave her a little bit more.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So go ahead. Adapted screenplay.
Adapted
screenplay. It's a stacked category.
I'm not familiar with the source material, but it's a short story, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you turned a short story into a feature film, so that's pretty good.
Good job.
Yeah. So I'm inclined to say yes.
I think it was paced well. I think there was, like, it was very well fleshed out to kind of, like, fill in the details for everything. So I think it was a good one, especially this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good category. That's a really great category.
For sure.
Okay, art direction. It was up against Changeling, The Dark Knight, The Duchess, and Revolutionary Road.
Yeah, I
think so. Yeah, I really liked all of the period set pieces. I thought were great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's a good visual feast,
especially because it had to be so many years that they cover. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Cinematography: it's The Changeling, The Dark Knight, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire.
Ooh.
I say yes because there are some beautiful shots in this film. Gorgeous.
Beautiful shots.
Yeah, it should definitely be in here. And by what I'm remembering from these other films, like, this is a tough category for this year.
Yeah,
like, I remember some really, like, there's really great movement, the movement of the shots in Slumdog Millionaire, and in this, and then just, like, the way they captured the action and the story in Dark Knight, too. So it's going to be a tough category to decide on at the end.
For sure. Best costumes is up against Australia, The Duchess, Milk, and Revolutionary Road. All period pieces.
Yeah. If not for her jacket alone, I mean, yeah.
The her yellow coat of my dreams.
Beautiful.
And I feel like they were very, like, period accurate as they went with the time. There wasn't that, like, obnoxious thing that films and TV do sometimes, that they're, like, get the most, like, flashy outfit from that decade. They did it in, like, this is what a regular person would wear on a day-to-day in the 50s or in the 60s or in the 70s. So I like that they were...
A not well-off person, too.
Right, yeah. I like that they were, like, you know, grounded about it.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Best editing, it was up against The Dark Knight, Frost Nixon, Milk, and Slumdog Millionaire. Sure.
The different pieces of the timeline together. Yeah.
Best makeup, The Dark Knight and Hellboy 2, and it won this category, and I agree. The makeup was great.
Yeah.
For the time.
For the time, and then up against the other two, I would say yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I'm okay with this one.
Score, it was up against Defiance, James Newton Howard, Milk, Danny Elfman, Slumdog Millionaire, A.R. Rahman, I don't know, Wall-E, Thomas Newman. I almost said Newman Thomas.
You said all of those with, like, a pause and a weird play.
I love those.
I woke up like 10 minutes before we started recording, I took a little napskies that turned out to be way too long. So I am still waking up.
That's okay. That's okay. I just like, I just like hearing you.
I feel like we use the same excuses every time. Like, oh, I just woke up, or oh, I'm tired, or oh, I haven't eaten, you know, all the same.
Bitch, life is hard. So, so we always feel like this.
Yeah, pretty much.
Get over it.
What was the...
Otherwise, why are you listening to this podcast?
Score, Crystal.
P.S. Joy, no one listens to this.
No one listens.
We listen to this.
Even my family who's in the house.
You right don't now, listen to this.
They're not even listening to this.
I'll listen to it on Spotify when we post.
I listen to it, but it's because I'm, like, editing stuff. So, like, is it really listening to it?
Whatever. I love you guys.
I listen to it back and laugh. I'm like, oh my god, I remember that joke.
It's really interesting to listen to the ones like back in the day. Back in the day, woo, those are rough. Yikes. Anyways, so score. I thought it was gorgeous, beautiful. It's Alexander Splott, who also it sounds similar to The Shape of Water, which she also did. Gorgeous and sweeping, and I loved it.
Yeah. It was definitely a character in the film.
Yeah.
Love it.
Wrong.
I made all my colors too similar this time around. There's a lot of bluish purples. Sound mixing. It was Up Against the Dark Knight, Slumdog Millionaire, WALL-E, and Wanted.
I don't know enough about this. I'm so sorry.
We are gonna watch that documentary.
We are watching it. It's on
if
Max.
You're offended sound people, you should be. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's on Max. I found it, so I have it on my list now.
I now have a barometer for great sound mixing.
Yeah.
And sound editing. There's a couple of films that immediately pop into my mind that are excellent. Mm-hmm. The Bar. But anything below that, I'm like, sure, that's fine. It's good.
I think of the two.
I don't think I have a bottom.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I know. I don't think I know any poor sound mixing.
What are they, Anna?
Mixing.
What are they? That comes
the
to
top.
Yeah.
The Substance.
Yeah.
And, what was the one from last year?
Top Gun
the
Maverick.
Zone of Interest.
Oh, it's Zone of Interest. Yeah.
Where the sound is like a character in the film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The movie's very good.
Those and two I thought, immediately pop into my head.
Yeah. And I also think of a very mainstream one. I think of Top Gun Maverick. So I'm just like, ooh, whoosh, the planes.
Yeah. And then now that I've
seen... But, like, it's really well done.
Now that I've seen that little behind-the-scenes clip, I think of the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Oh.
The way they did Treebeard, I think, is so fascinating and wonderful that I'm like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything with like that's like a fantasy movie that isn't like grounded in reality of any way, that sounds like, I mean, they have to make it from scratch anyway, but like the fact that you're making sounds of stuff that isn't even real, like that blows my mind.
They have to invent it themselves.
Yeah.
Yes. So in The Lord of the Rings, there's a species of creatures that are trees. They're called Ents, E-N-T. Mm-hmm. And so it's a walking, talking tree. And so to make the voice of the Ent, his name is Treebeard. They took the guy who did the voice, and they made this like wooden box with a bunch of different like levels and things in there, and they put it through the box to distort it. So they used actual wood to make the tree voice, and I will not do it justice to talk about it.
That's
but there's
cool.
a little behind the scenes clip of them talking about how they used this wooden box to distort the voice, and it's just
that's amazing.
Sound people are so cool.
It's not the same thing exactly,
so
but it reminds me of in Winter Soldier when there's a scene where Sebastian Stan as Bucky is screaming, and they take that scream and the composer took it and like made it as his theme, like he fixed the levels and made it like so Bucky's theme like is Sebastian Stan screaming. That's fantastic.
Like you can hear it in the background. It's just like elongated and distorted.
Love that.
Yeah.
So smart.
We love that.
We love Bucky.
I will say I loved that in the credits for The Substance, the Foley and the sound artists were like in the big credits before the yes. rolling credits.
Yeah.
Because it was that important. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, visual effects. It was up against The Dark Knight and Iron Man. And it won.
I like that non-superhero movie one. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Because I feel like superhero movies in this category, it's easy and it's simple. But
even though this was kind of the start of that.
True. Yeah, that's a good point.
Because it's Iron Man and The Dark Knight.
Yeah. But I do love how... Yeah, it was clear that the visual effects clearly was a huge part of the movie, and what a great display of, like, look what we can do, you know?
Right, like the talent and the skill, how far it had gone by that point in time.
Yeah. But while also honoring the makeup people, the hair and makeup team, because they did a lot of practical work, and then the visual effects just, like, backed it up and aided that, and I love it.
It was a good marriage of the two.
Yes.
Yeah, and also, like, the CGI kind of still holds up, I think, all things considered.
Yeah, I think for the time it was very good, and most of it still looks, you know, kind of seamless, because I think it was like a very strong collaboration between the makeup and the visual effects. You can definitely see that.
Hard agree.
Great.
Anyways.
Let's wrap this up. Any last notes?
My last note is Scientology is a cult. All right.
Concur. All right. Signed. Seconded. Heard. Noted.
Noted.
I'm going to be really bold and presumptuous here.
Lame.
And I'm going to guess that we rank this number one.
I love that I told her I'm coming a mile away, and I still love it.
No. Because we're nothing if not predictable.
Absolutely. At least to each other.
We really are.
Oh, my God.
No, actually, it's when number two, because District 9 is still up here. District 9, and then Benjamin Button is down here. No, I'm kidding. It's number one for right now.
What's next? Oh, I'm so excited.
We've got a fun season coming up. We got a few fun movies because it's short, so maybe we'll try and talk about other movies we may have seen.
yes.
That are in this this season. Mm-hmm. But that's it for now, and we'll see you next time.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, that's
Bye. Bye.